B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Chof. We're going to start two lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, V'kamo, we saw in the Mishnah, Ein tzoylin basar batzel ubeitza, you're not allowed to roast meat, an onion or eggs, Elo kadesh yitzoylu mibo'idyoim, unless they have been sufficiently roasted before the onset of Shabbos. We're afraid that if it's not sufficiently roasted before the onset of Shabbos, and you put it on the fire before Shabbos comes in, you may stoke the flames and transgress a number of Yisurim of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, V'kama, how roasted or how cooked, how ready does food have to be before Shabbos that you're allowed to put it on the fire and leave it there to continue cooking even after Shabbos comes in? Omer Belozo Omer Rav, Kadesh Yitzoylu Mibo'idyoim K'maychol Ben Drusoi. Ben Drusoi was a thief and didn't have time to wait for his food to be sufficiently cooked, and when the food was cooked a third of how much it would regularly be cooked, other poskim say half, Rashi says a third, then that's enough, and we're not afraid that you're going to stoke the flames in order to make the food cook after it's been cooked a third. You'll be patient and you'll wait for the cooking to be done on its own. It menami Omer of Asi, Omer of Yechonon, Kol Shehu K'maychol Ben Drusoi, any food that's already been cooked a third, the measure called Maychol Ben Drusoi, the food that's cooked enough that this thief would have eaten it, Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Nochrim. We know there's an Issa, we've learnt about it previously in the Masechta, that food that's been cooked by a Goy, a Yisrael, is not allowed to eat it. However, if the food was cooked by a Yisrael, a third, like Maychol Ben Drusoi, and then a Goy cooked it, the rest of the cooking, it's okay, one is allowed to eat it. It's only the first third of the cooking that is the deciding factor as to whether it's called Bishul, as far as Bishul Akum is concerned. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa. Chananya Oimer, Kol Shehu K'maychol Ben Drusoi, any food that's already been cooked a third before Shabbos, Mutar L'Shehoyse Al Gabei Kira, you're allowed to leave it on the oven when Shabbos comes in, Af Al Pi She'ein Grufa Oktuma, even though the coals have not been shoveled together or covered over. This is typically what we would call the blech. We cover over the fire, we cover over the knobs to stop us stoking the flames, changing the size of the flame. And that corresponds to Grufa Oktuma in the Gemara. And once the food has already been cooked a third, we're not afraid you're going to stoke the flame, and therefore you can put this food on the fire before Shabbos and leave it there after the onset of Shabbos, even though the coals have not been sufficiently covered. Continues the Gemara, Ein noisnin es hapas v'chulei. We saw in the Mishnah, Ein noisnin pas letanur, you're only allowed to stick the dough to become bread on the walls of the oven, im chasheicha, just before Shabbos, v'loi charora, or a biscuit, or a cookie, al gabi gecholim, onto the coals, elo kadesh yikrumu poneo mibo'idyoim. You're only allowed to do that if you've left it there enough time before Shabbos that the surface of this cookie, this biscuit, or the bread will become crusty. Says the Rebbe Loza, Oimer kadesh yikroim hatachtoin shelo. Rebbe Loza says that it's the bottom part of this bread that has to become crusty. And the Gemara is now going to ask, what's considered the lower part, the bottom part of the bread, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, Iboilu. They asked a question in the yeshiva. Tachtoin heich. When the Mishnah says, when Rebbe Loza says, Sheyikroim hatachtoin shelo, the bottom of this bread, what does it mean? Degabe tanur? Oidilma tachtoin heich degabe haur. Does it mean that it's the part that's lowest down, meaning the closest to the flame? Or does it mean the part that's facing down, that's the edge that's connected to the oven? It takes longer for the part of the bread that's touching the walls of the oven to become crispy and crusty. That takes longer than the part of the bread that's lowest down, closest to the fire. In the braisa, you see that it's the part that's attached to the oven. You have to wait and until that surface touching the oven has become crispy. And only if that happens before Shabbos, you're allowed to leave the bread to continue baking after Shabbos sets in. Continues the Gemara. Meshal Shlinis HaPesach, we saw in the Mishnah, you're allowed to lower the Korban Pesach into the oven just before Shabbos comes in and allow the Korban Pesach to roast after the onset of Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, Mai Tama, why should this be mutar? Says the Gemara, Dubnei Chabura Zerizin Hein. Since they're in a group, and in every group it can be assumed that there's somebody there who is Zerizin, who's very particular and conscientious to make sure that Chas V'Shalom nobody would be Mechal Shabbos, nobody would stoke the flames. Holav Hochi. But besides the fact that there's a Chabura, there's a group of people with a Zoriz inside, it would seem that you're not allowed to put the meat into the oven just before Shabbos. V'Omar Mar, did we not see on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Gadya, tender kid meat, which is similar to that of a Korban Pesach, bein shorik, bein loy shorik, irrespective of whether the entrance to the oven is sealed closed or not sealed closed, shapir domi, since opening up the oven will allow the breeze, will allow wind to come in, and that's going to affect and damage the meat inside, we assume that a person won't do that. If so, with Korban Pesach, why is it only mutter? Because it's Bnei Chaburah's Rizin Hein, it should be mutter because we assume you're not going to open the oven because the breeze is going to disturb the roasting and disturb the meat. Says the Gemara, Hosom Mintach. Over there, in the Gemara previously, we're talking about that the meat was cut up, was chopped up into pieces, and therefore opening it up and the wind, the breeze coming in, will actually disturb the process and of the baking, of the frying, and a person won't do that. Hocha loy mintach, in the case of the Korban Pesach, it was roasted whole. And since it was roasted whole, the wind would not bother it, and therefore a person could open it up even after the onset of Shabbos, and therefore it's only mutter because there's a b'nei chabura that's risen in. Continues the Gemara. Uma'achizin es ha'ur. We saw in the Mishnah, Ma'achizin es ha'ur b'maduras beis ha'moikeid, that in the Beis HaMikdash there was a chamber called Beis HaMoikeid, the chamber where there was a bonfire in it. As we explained when we learned Daf Yotes, it was there in order to warm up the feet of the Kohanim. And you're allowed to, just before Shabbos comes in, light that fire in the Beis HaMoikeid. You do not need to wait for the fire to spread and that the whole bonfire should be alight. As long as a little bit of the wood has already caught a light, has been ignited, it's enough, and we're not concerned that they're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Minoha Nemili, what's the source of this? What's proof that this should be mutter? Omer of Huna, it's learned from a pasuk. Lo yisavaru eish b'chol moish v'seichem, you're not allowed to light, kindle a fire anywhere in your homes. B'chol moish v'seichem yatom avir, you're not allowed to light, ignite a fire in your homes. But if it's not your home, it's the home of the Beis HaMikdash, it's the chamber of the Beis HaMoikeid, in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. Maskiflor of Chizda. Rav Chizda says, can that be the source? If you have a posuk that says that in the Beis HaMikdash you're allowed to light a fire on Shabbos, then why do you have to kindle it before Shabbos at all? Light it on Shabbos. Elom Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda argues with Rav Huna, and Rav Chizda says, "Kro I ki osa lemishri evorim upadorim hu daosa." We do not need a posuk, or the posuk does not tell us you're allowed to light a fire in the Beis HaMikdash. We need this posuk to tell us that you're allowed to put the limbs and the fats of the korbonis. You did not have time before Shabbos came to put them on the mizbeach. You're allowed to put them on the mizbeach even after the onset of Shabbos. The Kohanim Zerizim Heim, and the reason that in the Beis HaMoikeid you're allowed to light the fire and you do not need it to ignite the whole bonfire before the onset of Shabbos is because Kohanim Zerizim Heim, the Kohanim themselves are very conscientious to make sure that all the halachas are being kept to the letter of the law and nobody will be Mechal Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, Ubigvulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, kedei shetechoiz ha'ur beruboi. The fire has to ignite, has to hold on to roiv, to most of the woods in the fire, and only if most of the bonfire is lit before the onset of Shabbos, you can allow the fire to spread to the rest of the woods even after the onset of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, my Rubon, when it says roiv, that most of the fire, most of the woods has to be catch on the fire, what, most of what? Omar Rav, roiv kol echod ve'echod. Rav says it needs to be most of every piece of wood in the bonfire, most of each piece of wood, most of each log, each branch, has to have been ignited. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel says it does not have to be most of each branch. It has to be sufficiently lit that we can comfortably assume that it will continue burning on its own, and it will no longer be necessary to pay attention and possibly say to somebody, bring more wood in order that we should help the fire ignite itself. That would be also on Shabbos. If it's enough lit and it's burning well enough that the natural cause and effect will be that the fire will spread on the whole bonfire, then you're allowed to let it do the rest on Shabbos. Tony Reb Chiya l'siyuah l'Shmuel, there's a brayso of Reb Chiya that's proof to Shmuel. Kedei shetehei shalheves oile meileo, v'loi shetehei shalheves oile al yedei dovar achir. We're going to see later on Daf Chof Aleph with the menorah, there's a concept called lighting a wick enough that from this point on it's going to continue and finish igniting on its own. That's called it's lit. For the menorah, you have to light the menorah. You have to do enough that from this point on it's going to go up on its own. And not that you have to help it by moving it, by playing around with it. So to hear, when is the fire called ignited? When we can assume that it's oile me'ileo, and not al yidei dova achir, that from here the fire is going to continue on its own and does not need any outside intervention or any outside help. And that's proof to what Shmuel said. Continues the Gemara, Eitz Yechidi. We discussed a bonfire with lots of wood. We know how much of the fire has to be ignited in order to allow it to carry on Shabbos on its own. And even though Rav said most of every log, and Rav didn't tell us what's called roiv, and it's a discussion in the Mefarshim here, but here the Gemara discusses what happens when you have a single log of wood. Rav Omar, roiv ovyoi. Rav says most of the width of the wood, that means the fire has to have penetrated most of the depth of the wood, of the log, and then it's called the fire's grasped the wood, and we can assume it's going to continue spreading on the whole log, and you're not going to do anything to help the wood. There's no reason to suspect you'll be mechal Shabbos. You're allowed to allow it to continue on its own after the onset of Shabbos. Va'omrilo, others say, Baroiv hakeifoi. Not that the fire has to penetrate most of the depth of the wood, it has to penetrate most of the circumference of the wood. The fire has to have spread on most of the circumference of the wood in the fire. Omer of Papa, Hilkoch ba'inon roiv ovyoi uba'inon roiv hakeifoi. Rav Papa says, since it's a discussion whether the fire has to have spread most of the depth or most of the circumference before the onset of Shabbos, he's machmir and says you need both. The only way you're allowed to allow such a log to heat up and to burn on Shabbos is if before the onset of Shabbos the fire has grasped hold both of the most of the depth of the wood and most of the circumference of the wood. Ketanoi, and this is a machlokes tanoim, Reb Chiya Omar, Rav Chiya says that the fire has to penetrate most of the depth of the wood, because at that point the wood is ruined and can no longer be used for work by a craftsman. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that the shiur is not that the craftsman can't use it anymore, which is most of the depth of the wood. It's kadesha toiches or eish mishneit dadim. The fire has to have covered both sides of the wood, which means most of the circumference. Kadei she'toiches ha'oish mishneit stadim, both sides. V'afal pi she'in raya ledover. Even though we don't have a proof to this, we do have zecher ledover. We have some indication to this effect from a pasuk. What does it say in the Pasuk? A Pasuk in Yecheskel. Es shnei k'tzoisav ochlo ha'ish. The fire ate the two sides of the wood. V'toichoi, and the inside nochor became parched. Hayitzlach le'melacha. Is it fit still to work with it? So you see that the fire covering both sides, which is most of the circumference of the wood, that's proof that nochor, the wood, has become entirely parched, which means we can assume, we can comfortably take for granted that the wood will continue burning and will not extinguish itself, and therefore there's no reason to suspect that a person will do anything with it on Shabbos, and therefore it's sufficient to have the wood burning to this level before Shabbos comes to allow you to leave the wood to continue burning on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. It says in a Pasuk, in Yirmiyah, Ve'es he'och, we'll soon see what that means, Lefonov mevoy ores. The och is going to burn in front of you. My och, what is och? Says the Gemara, Omar Rav. Rav says, Achvono. It's a willow tree. What we would know as Aravis. Or Shmuel Omar. Shmuel says, Eitzim shenidleku ba'achuno. Achuno means brotherhood. It means that we're in a group where the big ones are influenced by the small ones. And so too, when you have a bundle of twigs of woods that are all bundled together, and it's like a brotherhood, and lighting part of it, once it's sufficiently lit, it will, even the smaller pieces that are burning will ignite the bigger pieces. And that's what the Pasuk says, He'och, once the fire in such a situation has started burning, Lefonov Mevaores, it's going to burn the whole pile. Hahu Da'omar Luhu, there was this person that was calling out, Man Boya Achvono, who wants Achvono? Ishtakach Aravta, they went to see what he's offering, what he's selling, and they saw he's selling willows. So this is proof that the word Ach in the Pasuk, the Achvono means Aravis, means the willow tree, as we saw, as Rav said. And there's a question what this is doing here in this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Konim, when you have a pile of reeds, Ein Tzrichin Roiv, over there you don't need most of the reeds to have been ignited before Shabbos to allow you to let these reeds continue on Shabbos. We can assume that they are going to continue burning on their own. Ogdon, if you took all these reeds and you bundled them together, Tzrichin Roiv, then you need that most of the bundle is already ignited to assume that it's going to continue burning on its own. Garinin, if you have the pits of dates, Ein Tzrichin Roiv, they do not need Roiv, and as soon as some of them are ignited, it's enough to assume they're going to continue igniting and they will not extinguish. Nosnon Bechoislois, if you put these pits into a basket of reeds, then Tzrichin Roiv, then in order to allow them to continue burning on Shabbos, you need that most of these pits, or most of each pit, is already burning. Maskiflor of Chizda. Rav Chizda asked a question on Rav Huna. Adarabba, Ibcha Mistabra, logic says the opposite. Konim, in the case of reeds, Mevadron, they are scattered out, they are spread out. And since they are spread out, you cannot take it for granted that one reed is going to ignite the other reed. And therefore it would make sense that since it's spread out and scattered, you need to have roiv to assume that the fire is going to continue burning. Ogdon, however, when it's bundled together, loy mevadron, they're not scattered, and then you can assume that if just part of the bundle has been ignited, the rest will light on its own. Garinin, in the case of the pits, mevadron, when they're spread out, you should need roiv to assume that it's going to stay alight. Nosnon bechoislois, but if you put it into this basket of reeds and they're all close together, loy mevadron, they're not scattered, and then it should be enough even if you do not have roiv. And this is contrary to what Rav Huna said. Itmar nami. Omer of Kana. Rav Kana had a third opinion. Konin, in the case of the reeds, She'ogdon, if they are bundled together, Tzrichin Roiv, then you need to have Roiv. Loi Ogdon, if they're not bundled together, Ein Tzrichin Roiv, then you do not need to have Roiv, and this follows the opinion of Rav Huna. Garinin, in the case of the pits, he follows Rav Chizda. Tzrichin Roiv, If they are scattered, then you need roiv. Nosnol bechoisolos, but if they're together in a basket, ain't tzrichin roiv, you do not need roiv, and as soon as even some of them have been ignited, have been lit, the rest will light on their own. And Rashi explains that in the case of the reeds, when they're bundled together, it's very hard for the fire to get in between all the reeds. And therefore, you need that most of the reeds have been ignited to assume that they're going to stay alight. However, when they are not bundled together, then the fire can easily get from one reed to the next, and therefore you do not need a roiv. In the case of the pits, it's the opposite svara. If it's not in a basket, they are easily spread out. Reeds don't just spread out. Even when they're not tied together, they stay close to each other. They are long, they're heavy, they stay where they are. These pits, they roll all over the place, and therefore when they're not tied together, we cannot take it for granted that the fire will move from one to the next. However, when they're bundled together, then the fire will, that's already ignited part, will definitely ignite the rest. Continues the Gemara. Toni Rav Yosef. Arba medurois, there are four types of bonfires, ein tzrichin roiv, that do not need that most of the fire has been ignited in order to allow you to keep it that way and to spread on Shabbos. And even if just part of it has been ignited, we assume it will not extinguish, and there's no reason to be worried somebody's going to Michal Shabbos, and you can leave it to spread even after the onset of Shabbos. What are these four? Shel Zephes, if it's with pitch, Shel Gofris, or with sulfur, Vishel Gvino, or with cheese, Vishel Revav, or some type of animal fats of grease. B'masnita tona, Av Shel Kash, we learnt in a brisa that also a bonfire made with a pile of straw, Vishel Gvova, or stubble, also there we assume that it will not extinguish, and you do not need roiv. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim Shel Bovel, the woods that were common in Bovel, ain't srichin roiv. You do not need roiv. We can assume that they will burn nicely. Maske Flor of Yosef. Maihi, what are these woods in Bovel? Ilema, silti, is it talking about the thin strips of wood which was common in Bovel? Hashta, psila, omar ula, in the case of a wick, ula says, hamadlik, tzorech sheyadlik baroiv, hayoitza, that when you're lighting a wick, you have to make sure that most of the wick is ignited before the onset of Shabbos. Silti, these wooden strips that are harder to ignite than a typical wick, even more so, you should need at least roiv. Miboya, you can take for granted you need at least roiv. Ela Omer Rav Yosef says, Shucha de Arza. It's the branches of the cedar wood, which they had in Bovel, and these branches, when you light them, you do not need roiv. Romi Bar Abba Omar Zozo. Romi Bar Abba says that the woods of Bovel are talking about Zozo, which would be translated as moss. And there too, the fire catches on nicely, and there's no reason to believe that it's going to extinguish, and therefore you do not need roiv. Hadron Aloch Yitzia Yisa Shabbos Emirat Hashem. We're going to do Chazora on the first Perek of Shabbos, and now we're going to start B'siyata D'Shmaya learning the second Perek of Maseches Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Bameh Madlikin U'Bameh Ein Madlikin. We know that in order to have a flame, you need to have two components. You need a wick and you need the oil. The question is, which wicks are you allowed to use for Neiros Shabbos, for Shabbos candles, and which oils are you allowed to use for Shabbos candles? Says the Mishnah, and we're going to start with the wicks, a list of wicks that you're not allowed to use because they do not burn nicely. If they don't burn nicely and they start flickering and fluttering, we're afraid you're going to maneuver it, you're going to play with it on Shabbos, and that will be seriously Osa. It's the Issa of lighting a fire on Shabbos. Ein madlikin loy belechesh, you cannot use lechesh for wicks. We're going to see in the Gemara what that means. V'loy bechoysen, v'loy becholoch, v'loy bepsilas ha'idon, and not with the residue of idon. V'loy bepsilas ha'midbar, or the residue of what we'd call midbar. V'loy b'yeroikosh el pnei ha'mayim, and the greens. It's algae or algae that's floating or that's found in the water, On the surface of the water, you're not allowed to use any of those as wicks for your Shabbos candles. And now the Mishnah is going to say what oils you're not allowed to use. V'loi b'zefes, v'loi b'shavo, v'loi b'shemen kik, v'loi b'shemen sreifo. Shemen sreifo means truma tmeo, truma that has become tome, you have to burn it. And this fellow says, instead of just burning it, I'm going to light it for my candles. V'loi ba'alyo, v'loi b'chelev, chelev, which are certain fats of animals that one's not allowed to eat them. A person might think, I'll burn them and use them for Shabbos candles. It's also Nochum Hamodi Oimir Madlikin Bechelev Mevushel. If the chelev that's also brachila has been mevushel, then you're allowed to use it. Bechachomim Oimrim Echod Mevushel. Veechod Sheinu Mevushel Ein Madlikin Boy. It doesn't matter if it's mevushel or not mevushel, you're not allowed to use this chelev for the Shabbos candles. And the Gemara will discuss that it seems that the Chachomim is the same as the Tanakama, who say that v'loy b'chelev, you're not allowed to use chelev. Even though I explained the Mishnah that it's referring to the Shabbos candles, those candles you light l'chvoid Shabbos, in the Rishonim this is a discussion. It could be that any candle in the home on Shabbos, any candle you light before Shabbos to give you light on Friday night, these same halachas apply, because if the flame is not burning nicely, you may come to tilt the candle or the flame, and that will be seriously osa. And now the Gemara is going to discuss the various things mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Lechesh, the first wick that we saw in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to use is Lechesh. Says the Gemara, what is Lechesh? Shucho de'arza, the bark of a cedar tree. Shucho de'arza, eitz be'almahu, the Gemara asks. The bark of a cedar tree, that's not a wick, it's a piece of wood. You can't light a candle with a piece of wood. A wick is something that absorbs the oil, and wood doesn't absorb oil. Says the Gemara, ba'amraniso de'izba. There's a woolly substance between the bark of the tree and the main trunk of the tree. There's this woolly substance, and that can be used as a wick. And that's what it means, lechesh. You're not allowed to use it because the oil does not absorb nicely into it, and therefore the flame is not a comfortable flame. Continues the Gemara, v'loi b'choisen. You're not allowed to use choisen as a wick. Omer of Yosef, what's choisen? Ne'oiras shel pishton, small pieces of flax. Omer le'abaye v'hoksiv, does it not say in the pasuk, v'hoyo hechosoin l'ne'oiras, that chosoin, which is a strong material, is going to become very flammable and very easily burnt like ne'oiras? Michlal de choisen lav ne'oiras hi. So you see from the pasuk that if Yirmiyah is saying that part of the punishment that they're going to get is that choisen is going to become na'iris, you see that choisen is not na'iris. So how can you, Rav Yosef, say that choisen in the Mishnah is na'iris shel pishton? Elo Omar Abaya, Abaya says, do you know what choisen in the Mishnah is? Kisna, it's talking about a type of flax. De daik, the flax has already been beaten. V'loi nopit, but it's not yet been combed. And therefore you're not allowed to use it as a wick for your candles, for any candles on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, v'loi b'choloch, what is choloch that may not be used for candles on Shabbos? Omer Shmuel, she'altinu l'chol nechoise yama. I asked all those who go out to sea, all the sailors, what is choloch? V'omri, and they said, it's kulcha shmei. Choloch is something called kulcha. What is that? Rabbi Yitzchok bar Zira Omer, gushkara. It's a type of floss silk. Rovin v'Abaya have a yosve kamei de rabono nechemyo achve deresh gelusa. Rovin and Abaya were sitting in front of rabono nechemyo, who was the brother of the resh gelusa, the god ladoir in Bovel, in the diaspora in Golus. Chazia de have a lovish mataksa. They saw he was wearing a silk garment. Omali Rovin Labaya, Rovin commented to Abaya, Hainu Koloch Titnan, this garment is Koloch that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Omali, Abaya said to Rovin, Anan Shiro Paradno Korinonle. We called what he's wearing Shiro Paradno, not, and that's what this garment is called. Meisvi. So we're asking a question now. It says in the Brisa, Hashiroim, a type of flax, a type of shiro, and we assume that this includes shiro parando. V'hakoloch and or koloch, v'hasirikin and a corded type of silk, another type of silk, chayovin b'tzitzis, if garments are made of them, they are chayev to put tzitzis. So you see that shiroin, which is shiria paradno, which was what this garment that the Resh Galusa was wearing, is not koloch. Tiuvta de Rovin, tiuvta, so you're right, Rovin is, there's a question against Rovin that koloch is not this type of garment that was called shiro parando. Eboyus Amos, says the Gemara, it could be that Rovin can answer shiro luchud. In the Braisa that says that shiroin is not the same as koloch, shiroin there is one thing, the shiro parando luchud. And the shira paranda may well be koloch, that's something else, and not to assume that shiroin means shira paranda. Continues the Gemara. V'loi bipsilas ho'idon. And you shouldn't have wax from idon. What's that mean, says the Gemara? Achvino. This is the woolly type of substance between the bark of a willow tree and the main trunk of the willow tree. Rovin v'Abaya have a ka'ozla. Rovin and Abaya were traveling, were going, b'pakto de Tamrurisa, in the valley of Tamrurisa. Chozin hu, they saw lahanhu arvoso, they saw these willow trees. Omale Rovin l'Abaya, Rovin commented to Abaya, hainu idon ditnan, this willow tree is the idon mentioned in the Mishnah. Omale, Abaya said to Rovin, hahu eitz be'almahu. What do you mean? Rovin first just pointed to the willow tree. Abaya thought that he meant this is the tree itself, the wood itself. He says the wood itself, it's not a wick. You can't ignite wood and use it as a candle. Kolaf, what Rovin did was he peeled the bark, the outer layer of this willow tree. V'achvale aramnisa de bein abein, and he showed him the woolly type of substance that was hiding under the bark. He said, I didn't mean the wood of the tree, I meant this woolly substance can be turned into a wick, and that's what the Mishnah says, psilas ha'idon, you should not use it for Shabbos candles. Continues the Gemara, v'loi bepsilas hamidbor. What does that mean? Shavra, it's the nettle, it's a type of plantation where when used as a wick, it does not absorb the oil nicely, and therefore you should not use it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, V'loi b'roika she'al p'nei hamoyim. The green substance that's on the surface of the water should not be used as a wick for candles on Shabbos. Mai, he asks the Gemara, what is this? Ilema uchmasa decharitzi. Are you assuming this is the algae, or the algae that's growing on the water, the still water, in trenches? Ifruche mefarchon. The Mishnah couldn't mean that, because you cannot technically use it as a wick, because they crumble when you just touch it, and it certainly cannot absorb the oil and be used as a wick. Elomer of Papa, uchmasa de arvo. It's the algae growing on the side of the boats, and that could theoretically be used as a wick. The Mishnah says, don't use it for the candles on Shabbos, because it does not absorb the oil so nicely. Continues the Gemara. Tona, hoisifu alein, above what it says in the Mishnah, the list of wicks not to be used, they added on shel tzemer, a wick made of wool, v'shel sar, and made of hair. V'tana didon, and our Mishnah that did not mention these two, says that tzemer mekavetz, wool just curls up, and therefore you could not use it for a wick, and therefore it's not necessary to mention it in the Mishnah. Seor and hair, ichruche, michrach, it just burns and singes, and therefore you cannot use it as a wick, and therefore it does not have to be mentioned in our Mishnah. Continues the Gemara. V'loi bezefes, one of the oils you're not allowed to use for your candles on Shabbos is zefes, pitch. So the Gemara says, zefes, what is zefes? Zifto, it's what we call pitch. Shava, what is, when the Mishnah says loy bezefes or loy b'shava, what's shava? Kirusa, it's what we call wax. Continues the Gemara, Tona adkan posul psilois. Our Mishnah, till the yeroikosh al pnei amayim, is talking about the wicks that you should not use. Mikan ve'elach, but from here, from zefes, starts the list of the posul shmonim, the oils that you should not use. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Read the Mishnah, you'll see. These are wicks, these are oils. Says the Gemara, no. Shavo is strichele. Regarding wax, there we need this braiser to tell us that it's talking about the oils and not talking about wicks. Why, maudotema, I may have thought. Lipsilois nami loichazia. I may have thought that shavo cannot be used as an oil to put a wick inside melted wax. That you should not do. But if you've turned the wax into a type of wick itself, it's what we call a solid wax candle, which looks like a wick. The whole wax candle is like a wick. I may have thought that's also not to be used on Shabbos. Komash malon, you're allowed to use it on Shabbos. You're only not allowed to use wax when it's used as a melted oil that's going to get absorbed into a wick. But when the whole wax is a solid wax candle, then that would go in the list of psilois, of wicks, and it's not one of the wicks that are not allowed to be used on Shabbos. You're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Omar Romi Bar Ovin. We just now learnt that in the Mishnah it says you're not allowed to use wax as one of the oils for the candles on Shabbos. We're going to see later on in the Gemara that Itron is also not allowed to be used as an oil to be burnt in the candles on Shabbos. So the Gemara explains, Itron, or what is Itron? Psoil saw the residue, the zifta of pitch. Shavo, what's the shavo? Psoil saw is the residue, the duvsha of honey. Lemainaf kemina, what's the difference? Says the Gemara, lemekach umemkar. If you're trying to sell to somebody, and you committed yourself to in the sale to give him shavo, you have to know what that means. And so that's why it says, that's why Romi Bar Ovin says that you know what shavo means? It means the residue of the honey, and you do not need to turn it into something made and ready to be used and easy to be served. No, as long as it's the residue of honey, it's called shavo. And therefore you're allowed to give it to him and part of a valid sale. And the same is with Itron. If you make a sale and you commit yourself to give somebody, to sell somebody Itron, it's enough to give him residue of the pitch. You do not need to process it and do anything with it before giving it to him as part of the sale. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue in this sugya.